Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. Where will each chapter take you? June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. After a stressful take on the valley, there's nothing more relaxing than playing a round of June's Journey. I take in all the glamorous culture of the 1920s, scandalous family secrets, and explore and even build my own vivid sceneries. So can you crack the case? June needs your help, detective. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, Angel Faces? Welcome back to another episode of It All Happened, recapping Vanderpump Rules, season 11, episode 6.
Episode 6, it is. Saw it on the gram. I don't understand it. It was like a swing and a miss, though. I see what they're trying to do.
You're saying you don't understand the name of the episode. Didn't really resonate with me either. I get it, Graham, the dog. And then I guess it's like Sheena dealt with the hate on Instagram, but it's just like not really what the episode was about. I literally wrote down halfway through the episode that this episode should have been called Where's Sheena?
Where's Sheena? Because she...
Well, Lala kept being like
yoga.
Well, no, the whole episode. I mean, rightfully so. But the whole episode, Lala would be like, "Where's Sheena? Where's Sheena?" And it was like the boat, whatever. Because Sheena just needed space and needed a minute. And we'll get into that. But I very much respect and love that she set those boundaries and did that for herself.
Yeah, I think overall it was it seemed to be sort of a positive. It was headed in the right direction there for a bit, but it took an abrupt halt.
Yeah.
Tom Sandoval. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. I really appreciated the peaceful music in the intro.
Oh my God. You know, Luke, it was the first thing that I thought of was like they show Tahoe and there's this like Disney-esque like fairies in the woods or like Snow White. If Snow White were like brought back to life in 2024, that was the music, which means in the Bravoverse, shit's about to go down.
Is that so? Is that what that means?
Fucking totally. There's nothing.
This calm, peaceful music?
Yes. Yeah. There's like what? This whole episode's just going to be like butterflies, rainbows, unicorns, like a fucking, what is that called? Like a Barney circle, like just kumbaya. Yeah, right.
I mean, they had me sort of faked out for the first half of it. I was like, okay. I mean, I kind of got a little bit bored in a couple scenes because I felt like it was slow and heavy, and slow and heavy aren't my jam. Like, I don't feel like you do, baby. You got all the feels. This one for me was like, yep, everyone's got feelings. I know.
Well, and you're also, to be fair, like, though you're on the valley and you are now a product of Bravo TV, if I do say so myself, but you don't have the history with that show the way that I do. So me, you know, we're jumping way the fuck ahead, but we'll get right to it. But just like all the montages and the past and all of that isn't something you're familiar with. So I have a lot more opinions about this episode than you would. Fair enough. So your opinion for me, and I think for our listeners, is going to be very incredible and valid and interesting because you watched it as a viewer, but also as like a friend, just not a friend with a history. You know what I mean? Jelly Bean?
Yeah, like a recent friend that, I mean, starting to develop some history in a like a newer viewer of the show. I don't know all of the history, but I know a lot of it.
Okay, but I'm so glad you brought that up because I was like, totally this fucking Snow White music. So the first thing for me was Sandoval journaling because they did that
whole I wrote that down too.
The teeth brushing, you know, all of that. So you know that Mama Detective Doty over here paused that screen and took a damn photo of it. Because I'm like, I want to see if he's like writing his fucking grocery. Well, he would never do that. I don't know. Maybe he's just writing like lyrics down for his stupid band or something. But it says what I can read is like something July 15th, 2023, 9:55 a.m. Today was one of the craziest filming days I've had since being on this show. Really? Okay. Something into went to the airport. Sheena called me to where they were sitting like nothing had happened. Probably one of the worst days to have only gotten 1 hour of sleep plus flying. I was very emotional all day because of the lack of sleep and was overwhelmed. I feel like something conversation could have gone better with James, but definitely, oh, then it says, but was definitely production and then it's all blurred out. And then it says something, like it's like one sentence and then it's all blurred out. So
I did notice the blurred out sections, but it's so funny because I noted that too. And the thought that went through my mind was how many people are going to pause or rewind to take a picture of it to read that journal? Like, is that already been memed? It's probably already on Instagram.
Did you think I was
Someone
do
took
it?
A picture of it.
Did you think I was?
You know, I figured you were in the group of people that were likely to do that.
I'm dead. I love you. Okay. Anyway, so that happened. Let's move on. So Sheena and Lala. There's a lot of Sheena and Lala and Tom Sandoval in this episode. Sheena's texting with Ariana and she's essentially just like, this is how the trip's going. Nothing deep, but no fights yet. Yet being the key word, of course. So then they're discussing things. It's like Tom wouldn't be there. Tom Sandoval would not be on this trip, obviously, if it weren't for Schwartz. Because if it were Lala's, you know, trip, quote unquote, like her rental house or Sheena's rental house or probably anyone else's, Tom Sandoval would not be there. And Sheena very emotionally and definitively says in the moment, I know that I can't be friends with him again. And then Sheena brought up the money that Tom gave her during the pandemic. And that was the first time in a long time that I felt, I don't know how to describe the feeling. It wasn't sympathy for Tom, but it was like a little glimpse of like, oh yeah, there's that guy who does nice things for people. Because this isn't something I've ever heard Tom talk about publicly. So it's like he didn't do it to be patted on the back. You know what I mean? And Luke,
yeah, he just had her back.
Yeah. So I don't remember if I told you this or not. So I believe it was my second to last season on Vanderpump Rules. There was a Witches of WeHo wine party. Katie Stassi and I were not getting along. So to be very transparent, at that time, I had been demoted that season from an episodic paid cast member to a day rate. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs because money's fucking weird and honestly, it's none of y'all's business. But I love you. So that episode, I was in, but like barely. And so I did get paid, but Tom Sandoval happened to be there and he was in it for like a blink of an eye, like a half a second, which didn't even cross my mind. But cut to when that episode aired and he was in it for just a second and he got paid his episodic rate. Tom and I weren't even, you know, we've never been like super, super tight friends since our breakup, but we were like buddies and Ariana and I were friends. And so it was great. I randomly, without him telling me, I get this PayPal for a few thousand dollars from Tom Sandoval. And I'm like, what the fuck? This has to be like a mistake. I think he made a mistake. So I text him and I was like, hey, dude, I don't know who you meant to send this to, but this came to mind. So I sent it back. He then finally texts me however long later and says, no, I meant to send that to you. I'm going to send it again, which I didn't accept it. So everyone knows, but kind of now I wish I would have. But he sent it to me because he said he did not think it was fair that he got paid his full episodic payment for being in the episode for a split second when I carried that episode on my back and only got paid nickels in comparison.
And it, when Sheena explained this, it just like, it hit me. Like a lot of the stuff in this episode, as you'll see as we go on, really hit me very emotionally, because Sheena and I are a lot of like, in a lot of ways, being people pleasers, being very loving, being very sensitive, very emotional, carrying a lot of weight on our shoulders. And so that, it just brought me back to that moment. And I really felt for Sheena in that moment, because that was a genuine move that Tom made, because in the same that he did with me. I don't think really anyone knows that he did that. So
he's not all bad, is all you're saying.
I don't know about now. I don't know. Essentially, this scene, Sheena's like, you know, I, at the end of the day, I'm Team Ariana till I die. This is the first time we see Sheena cry. You guys, I was like choking back tears on this fucking episode. I cannot watch Sheena cry. I can't. It breaks my fucking heart. So then we get to Ariana's photo shoot. So fucking hot. Amazing book. Katie comes to lunch, and I do like that Ariana had her moment, even though this is very much a Tom Sandoval bashing episode. They probably all will be at this point, but I do like that Ariana had a moment to talk about how this was her book and that there was no like Tom piggybacking off of it.
Well, she said it in a way that was, she like, Tom probably didn't think she was able to do anything without him, and this is proof that she doesn't need him.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I think this is why I'm so connected to this episode, because it took me back going, God damn, like I too felt that way. Like I felt like I took care of him in a lot of ways. And not that Tom doesn't help take care of people that he cares about, but he really loves to shove it in everyone's face, especially Ariana, as we've seen. I made you dumpling lattes. I bought batteries. He's even gone after me in recent years, being like, I had to wake you up for this, or I had to do that. And it's like, this is how you're going to live your life for the rest of your life, is deflecting and saying, but look what I did. Look what I did. And this was just kind of another example of that. And I was just really proud of Ariana for having this moment on this show without Tom and highlighting one of her successes. I thought it was very cool.
Good, baby. I love that.
Yeah. And then she talks about like how it was kind of like a breakup story with all of her chapter titles. And I was like, oh, parallels. By the way, He's Making You Crazy is still available on Amazon. And I was slightly offended that she didn't add Taylor Swift into her list of artists. But I'll take that beef up with her.
When my cat's healthy, he's happy. And that makes me happy. But since I'm not a mind reader, I don't always know when he is unwell. Helping me keep tabs on my cat's health is just one reason why I use Pretty Litter. Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell. When I first used Pretty Litter, I immediately loved the crystals. They're much more appealing than pouring that stinky sand into his litter box. Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust. Plus, the crystals last up to a month, which means less scooping and fewer trips to the garbage can. Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It changes colors to help monitor early signs of potential illness in my cat, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues. Being able to know how my cat is feeling makes me so much more relieved, since Walter can't talk to me. How can I know he may have a health problem? And Pretty Litter ships free right to my door in a small, lightweight bag. I never run out of it, and I don't have a huge container of litter taking up space and stinking up my place. Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on my cat's health and keep the odors down. You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do. Go to prettylitter.com/Doty and use code Doty to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/Doty, code Doty to save 20%. prettylitter.com/Doty, code Doty, terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so now we're in the seated meditation back in Tahoe.
Oh yeah, I loved the conversation before the meditation with Tom, with the instructor. I'm like, he's directing, kind of trying to get everyone to open their minds to him. And
just interesting that you saw that, because I'm not going to lie, I thought production might have put her up to it. So that went like right over my head.
You didn't see the conversation beforehand,
Tom? I think I just tune him out sometimes. Yeah, when he's like, hi, Shannon, I'm Tom. He's like, let me help you with the yoga mats. And then he was like, oh, I kind of had this affair. And they plugged up.
No, but he said what like they were looking for, like this togetherness, a group meditation, more than a yoga type class, to try to like get everyone on the same vibration or whatnot.
Yeah, I got that. But that's interesting, though, that you like – noted that it was kind of like he was directing her, because I was like, why the fuck Is she making them sit across from each other and being like, can you imagine if you never saw this person again? Y'all, I have been to, this is no offense to Shannon, the healing lady, but I have been to many a meditation. I have been done them on my own. I have a personal healer. I've been to group meditations with different people. And not once in my fucking life has anyone ever said, look at this person and imagine your life without them. It's fucking dark, man.
Oh, man.
Like in
this was definitely a hard episode on Sheena.
Oh, God, I know. And especially right when they sat down, before Sheena even said, where's Brock? My first thought, number one, was, oh, Brock is still golfing. 100%, he's still golfing, and Sheena is going to lose her shit because they've had other instances in their relationship. I don't know why I'm laughing because it's kind of funny, but it's not, where she's been like, and he was fucking golfing. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be Luke, 100%. Look, and then
healthy relationships revolve around men golfing. It's easy. Women can golf too, but like if someone's golfing, you know, there's that sense of peace and balance. It's good. No, I thought that was like, great. I laughed.
I know. I've never felt her more. And then Brock, he shows up right away and he's like, I'm here. And he's like, oh, the thing is, when I was on like the 17th holes, they were betting. And she's like, you said you were going to do top nine or the first nine?
Front
nine. She's like, you said you were going to do the front nine. And I was like, bitch, I fucking feel you. I feel you so hard. And Sheena's a fan of golf. I believe Sheena golfs as well. But like in those moments, you're like, bitch, you be here for me.
Look, babe, I don't think I've even pulled that on you yet. Definitely do it at some point, but saying I'm playing nine and then go play 18, that's like an extra at least 2 hours.
Yeah, don't fucking say yet.
Well, I mean, I do like to golf, so I'm going to leave it at yet.
This part was one of the wildest to me, and this was part of the reason that, I'm sorry that I'm like breaking fourth wall, guys, but that's why you listen, is that I thought like, is production up to this? Because she was like, you know, they're showing like shots of the lake and like she's like saying all these calming things. And I was like, man, I kind of want to like take a little nappy nap right now. Like she calmed me down. And then all of a sudden she's like, picture it's like a movie of your life. And I'm like, bitch, sorry, Shannon, you're not a bitch, but I'm just like, bitch, a movie of their life equals noise. She must not watch reality TV at all because all we do is live and relive and relive and rewatch movies of our lives for the last 10 fucking years. And then all of a sudden the montage starts of Sandoval just being a fucktard over and over and over. And it gave me such anxiety. And then later on, obviously, then they go into the montage of like Sheena and Tom. And I was like, this is so unhealthy. Like, I hope Sheena doesn't even watch this episode. She lived it. She shouldn't watch it. Shannon's not very calming. And I want people to go to Shannon and meditate with her. But I need to know that it's not going to be like this.
Well, you know what? All therapy. Well, I guess this seemed more like therapy than meditation.
This was traumatizing.
No, maybe. It was past. There was past trauma. If you reliving your life is traumatizing, right, then you've got deeper things to deal with. You need a therapist to help you walk you through that.
Yes, if you're on Vanderpump Rules, you do have deeper things to like work with.
That's
work.
Okay. Then that's fair. Just need a more aggressive therapist. I think this was productive, to be honest with you.
Okay,
because it is. Yeah.
I want your take on.
I mean, if they're just like, oh, just be peaceful and act like it didn't happen, and just be happy around each other and never talk it out, is not a good approach. Sorry.
Okay, Brock. I know you guys are right. God damn it. But then, yeah. So what I first wrote down in this next part, right, is when she's like, okay, so now go back to back with your partner next to you. And you just see Sheena, like, I could feel her pain, like, through the television. And I'm just thinking, Brock, go fucking sit with her. Go fucking sit with her. Are you fucking kidding me right now? And all I heard was that that sound that's, like, on TikTok and stuff where it's like, oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. I was like, oh, fuck. And then immediately I was like, you know what? Brock's doing this for a reason. He's doing this for the same reason, Luke, that you just said. Face the demons. Just, like, don't pretend.
100%.
I hate when I'm wrong.
Can't just play avoidant. No, he does. I did chuckle when she's like, Brock, do you want to be a third over here? And he's like, no, I got a group over here. I laughed out loud when he said that.
I can't believe she stuck with it. My ass would have been stood up so fast.
She did. Oh, she started it. Then she was just crying, took off, and then she came back and finished it.
Yeah, because do you know what I was feeling watching her be like sitting back to back with Sandoval and just like sitting, like I could feel it in my stomach and in my heart. I felt this is, I don't know, like unfair. This is cruel. This is really fucking sad. That's what I felt the whole entire time. Anyway, it was just brutal. Anyway, I felt really bad for her. I know, yeah. I'm being dark, you guys. I'm just like, ugh. And then when Shannon said, you know, if you're just used to saying like, yes, I'm okay. I'm like, oh my God. Is she like reading like Sheena's like teenage diary or something? Like poor little Shishu is like really, you know, she's very much a people pleaser, self-admittedly. And that's why people call her in the past wishy-washy, flip-floppy, because she's just like, I don't want to fight with anybody, especially now with like a child and a husband and more things on her plate. So I don't know. I'm fucking feeling for Sheena, you guys. I'm feeling for her so hard. And then when she stood up and finally said, I am not okay, I was like, good for you. You have the weight of the world on your shoulders. You need a minute, you take a minute. Like, don't force yourself to sit there, you know? But I was proud of her for coming back, too.
Right. No, I was, too. It was good.
And for Brock to run after her. Like, Brock pushed her boundaries a little bit, but then he was like, nope, but I'm also right here. Feels very, like, you-ish. What would you have done in that moment, do you think? Like, if you were Brock.
I think.
Would you have made me sit back-to-back with Tom Sandoval? It wouldn't have hurt me that way. Would you have wanted me to face my demons and let me sit with them and then come comfort me?
You know, for the amount of time it had been going on and what she was going through, like the amount of stress it had been causing her, it's like there's no better opportunity than now. If she didn't want to go on this trip to begin with, now she is here. She's in the right place. This is the time. There's a third party, this person guiding a meditation. Like there's a time to give it a chance. It's right now. You have to feel your feels to really be able to get past them. Like you have to live in those feelings and they suck sometimes, but you have to live in it and really understand them to be able to move forward. And like, it's a good opportunity at that time.
All right. Fair enough.
So wrap up yoga class, right?
Yes. Schwartzy and his blind optimism, the whole episode, but especially like in this moment, it's like all fucking awkward. He's like, oh, like, do you guys know about the blue jay? Like, oh, there's a blue jay. And, like, the lake's so beautiful. And I think this is, like, really good for all of us. And just...
No, but like, really, thank God for Schwartz, though. Talk about having a little bit of comedic relief from this heavy-ass episode. Every time he spoke, I think I smiled, at least, if I didn't chuckle. Like, Schwartz, thank you for this episode. Thank you for being
you. No, you're right. We definitely needed that. And I think really the button of this scene was, for me, the most powerful was when Sheena did actually face Tom. And I did find it genuine for like a good 10 seconds, maybe not that whole time that he was looking at her. But I felt like I saw in his eyes he was feeling something. I don't know. There was definitely some genuine tears. And then I think it went a little bit performative after that. But when he said like, he immediately, you know, he was being sweet, he was being kind, he was being gentle. And then when he said, you don't understand, and she said, I don't know if I need to, I was like, oh, full body chills. Boom. Mic drop. Sheesh.
Boom.
Sorry, I spent a lot of time on that fucking scene because it really hit me, guys. Okay, so we're with Katie and Ariana now.
So we have Katie and Ariana, and they're talking about Lake Tahoe, kind of just, you know, saying they're happy they aren't there. You know, why would they go? Yada yada. I'm sure it's miserable and awkward. And Katie brings up a date that she went on she really liked.
Well, yeah, but a guy from the 27s, which is the band that Sheena works with, that Sheena like has been doing music with. But yeah, but Katie says she doesn't want another project boyfriend. Luke, have you ever had a project girlfriend? Have you ever had a girlfriend that you were like, oh god damn it, like I have to teach you everything? This is exhausting. When he didn't know what penne was, and no offense, like, he's such a sweet guy, I've met him, but, like, for fuck's sake, dude, it's pasta. It's, like, one of the most basic bitch pastas of all time.
Okay, the penne thing is a little over the top, for sure, but there are definitely things that I think is common knowledge that you don't know, and things that you think are common knowledge that I don't know. Those two things exist because of the worlds we've lived in for the last decade. Penne, no excuse. Sorry. If you don't know what that kind of pasta is, but I'm telling you, there's always those moments in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Where you're like, how do they not know who this is or what this is? How? You know? We both had those moments and those feelings. You know it.
I mean, and I think I'm right and you think you're right. And two things can be true at the same time. So, Luke, also, they keep showing all these picturesque things of Tahoe. You have not been to Tahoe, correct? We've talked about that.
Never. It looks amazing. When they get out on the boat, the water is so gorgeous.
I have not been other than in the winter. I've spent my birthday there. I've gone in the winter multiple times, but I've never spent time like on the lake like that. And I think we should totally do that. One time I did spend $8,500 at a Vanderpump Dog Foundation gala for a trip to Tahoe, and I never got that trip. But Lisa?
Because the pandemic happened and then the company went under and yeah.
Not the company.
That's what happened, right?
Anyway.
No, anyway, they sold or something.
So
anyway.
The gondola.
Good old gondola fun.
Gosh damn it, Tom Sandoval. In the smallest space you could think of, this is when you decide to start being an actual asshole to Brock. I was so frustrated when he said, Rachel and I didn't, Rachel, we did not do this with the intention of hurting anyone. What the fuck did you think was going to happen, dude? Stop saying with the intention. No one fucking cares about your intention. And Brock, oh my God, I just bow down to Brock in this whole episode. And life in general, for Brock keeping his cool when he was like, well, your girlfriend got a fucking restraining order on my wife. And then Tom just kept going. And they're in the small, the space is like as big as Brock, okay? And I'm just like, Tom, what are you doing? Like, what? It was just, Brock's restraint to me was just that of a saint, because that scene really frustrated me. How did you feel?
I just really didn't know about the accusation, the rumors that Brock and Raquel had hooked up. Brock and Raquel having hooked up at some point.
Honestly, I feel like I heard about it once, but I think far after it happened and I knew it was just such a crock of shit. But that was fucking wild that it was Tom's team. And I fully 1,000,000,000% believe Brock that was Tom's team. Because Tom has lots of teams. His like representation changes every other day. I fully fucking believe that to take the heat off of them.
That's disappointing if that's true. I mean, for anyone to fabricate, that's just awful to begin with.
And like, why Brock?
Anyway,
like, choose someone else. You know what I mean? Yeah. Choose James.
That was the part that got me worked up more than anything else that Tom said. Like finding that out did get a reaction out of me more than the other stuff, because it was kind of like, okay, Tom's still doing the same thing.
And dick measuring.
Sorry, repetitiveness. You can't get me worked up doing the same thing over and over. It gets old to me where I just like sit here and watch, and I'm like, okay, seen this before. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. But I just like Brock's whole approach with Tom. It's like he's gentle, but he's also blunt and honest. And Sandoval just is continuing to like deflect and going like, whatever, dude. Anyway.
On the gondola, when they get to the top, so off the gondola, they have this awesome view way up above the lake, right? And Schwartz, his comedic relief this whole episode, he's like, man, if they had a water slide all the way down to the lake, would you do it? And in my head, I'm like, hell yeah, let's get it. That sounds fucking incredible. I would pay a lot of money to go down a water slide that was that far from where they were looking all the way to the lake.
I'll take video. I'll give you a GoPro and I'll cheer you on. Fuck that.
Sounds good. Maybe there'll be like a full loop-de-loop in it.
Oh my God.
So cool.
No. Yeah. And then have you seen those Instagram videos where people go flying off? No. They like die and get hurt. And no, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you know what bothered me the most? They didn't take their shoes off when they got on the boat.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, I totally did. Yeah, I was paying attention to everyone's feet. And I'm like, why are you all wearing shoes on a boat? It's fucking weird. You're not supposed to do that.
That is weird.
Yeah.
No, it's bad luck.
We're boat people.
It's probably why they got in nice fights. It was bad luck.
You're so right, dude. They caused it. I was going to say I'd pay good money, but dear Brock and Tom Schwartz, what I would like for my birthday next year is to watch you log rustle. They saw the log and they're like, should we rustle on it? And Schwartz is like, I'm not going to rustle you. I'm like, please, please go log rustle. I thought it was going to really happen. I thought they were like gearing us up to like see something exciting.
I think if he had asked Sandoval, he would have done it. I think Schwartz is not the guy. He's too pacifist. But Sandoval would have been like, yeah, let's log wrestle. I think he would have.
If Brock would have triple dog dared Schwartz and made him do a shot of Jaeger, Schwartz would have done it in a heartbeat. He can't say no. It's Tom.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
The whole boat looks like a great freaking time. I mean, it looks awesome.
Minus the people and the drama.
But the water and being on a boat and the bar and everything look cool.
Of course. So we really quickly get like a glimpse into like Katie and Ariana. They're with Penny. They're getting ready to interview employees. And the only reason I'm going to touch on this is because I fucking love pickle tie Brent. God bless the pickle tie. Can I buy you a pickle tie? Would you wear it?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you just saying that to appease me? Because you know I'll go on Amazon Prime right now.
No, I don't care. How often do you see me wear ties? Am I picky about which tie I wear?
Will you wear a pickle tie? I'll be like,
which one of these five should I wear?
Will you wear a pickle tie to the premiere of The Valley?
Sure. I might need to get a different jacket to go with it. But yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay, great. But that's pretty
that would actually
it.
Be hilarious.
Yeah, that was kind of it for that. So then we're back on the boat, and now shit gets real fucking wild. Shit gets real gnarly. And I just got to say, everyone knows I am not friends with Lala anymore, I guess. We are not on good terms. However, I am 1,000,000,000%, dare I say, I hate the team, whoever, but like I am fully on Lala's side for this entire thing. My blood was boiling. When she brought up what upset her, he immediately said, "When did I say that?" 2 seconds later, she goes, "Oh, it was the day after." And he goes, "No, it was actually the day of." You fucking sociopathic narcissist. You lying sack of shit. You are so entitled. Like, my brain hurts. I escaped this a decade ago. It's still the same person. He was just going, like, and I'm sorry, I'm not like, oh, I hate him. I want him to die. Like, I'm not that, but I'm just like, oh my God, you're going tit for tat. You're deflecting. You're blaming. Get a therapist. Like, yesterday, I was so frustrated. How did you feel? Because maybe you felt differently.
You know how you said you kind of just tuned out Tom talking earlier?
Yeah.
When the shouting between the two of them started, I was just like, wrote down their shouting.
But what about when they
I did understand what they were shouting about, yes.
What about when they were talking, and, like, before the volumes got raised?
I mean, it's a lot of things can be ended in, like, if you just take ownership of what you do, which is the whole theme.
Lala was.
No, exactly. She is. But that's what I'm saying is that, no, Tom didn't just take ownership and dish out an apology. A true apology and taking ownership is just how to put things away. Yes, I did that. It fell out of character. I know I may have a history of this, but I just have messed up. I'm seeking help. I'm sorry. I truly am. You know, that could hit a lot better than the way he's been handling it.
Yeah, because if I hear the word accountability maybe ever again, but especially out of his mouth, mama's going to lose it. Please, someone, anyone that might listen to this, anyone who's going to maybe quote us, post this on Instagram, make sure that it goes into Tom Sandoval's ears. Accountability. You set pride aside. You accept, you apologize, but you accept consequences for your mistakes. You learn from your past mistakes and you avoid blame shifting. That is what a fucking accountability means.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an angry elf right now.
Well, I don't know. I think everybody has the ability to learn from their mistakes. And I think this was hard on Tom, even if he maybe made it harder on himself at times. Maybe, even though he definitely made it harder on himself at times. This was obviously very hard on him. And, you know, you never know. Come out a different person.
Here's the thing. I think that everyone deserves second, maybe third, even fourth chances at times. But that comes with learning, evolving. Not saying like, okay, yeah, I'm sorry, but like, you know what everyone else did? And one of my favorite things Lala said in the scene was he kept bringing up this shit with Randall from like fucking forever ago. And she said, this is all you have on me. You will not allow me to evolve. And that was the fucking button, man.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's anyone on Tom's side in that conversation.
No.
There's not really anything but facts there.
Well, and then after they get off the boat, you know, and they're like back at the house and whatnot, and it's Sandoval and Schwartz talking, and Sandoval's like, yeah, you know what, Schwartz, like, yeah, man, like, I really think it was like a huge breakthrough this weekend. It's like a really big breakthrough, bro. Like, totally. It's gonna be like so different when we got home. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, am I watching what you lived? Like, what? Oh God, it's just like so gnarly. So now we're basically at the end of this super fucking heavy episode. And I mean, I'm kind of just a broken record. I just felt like Sheena really does carry and has been carrying the weight of the world on her shoulders sometimes. And I will also say, as a shout out to Sheena, you know, when Sandoval and I broke up, Sheena was the only one in the entire group who stayed my friend. So
Sheena, yeah, that says something. I like Sheena.
I love you. I love you so much. So this was a really fucking dark and heavy episode, as we've said 15 million times. I don't know what's going to happen. Fuck it. I don't know where the hell this season is going of Vanderpump Rules. It feels a little, I don't know, all the nostalgia and knowing the way that Sandoval is now. So Luke, last week, obviously I was doing it with Zach, right? I did this episode with Zach, and we touched on this a bit, but just to sort of reiterate, this season feels different. And knowing what we know now about Tom Sandoval, doing like Nick Viall's podcast and doing the New York Post interview, and honestly, just like he's kind of all over the place. That's like today, yesterday, like last week, right? We're watching what they filmed last summer. There is no change happening. So it's like, where are they going to go from here? And all this weird nostalgia and the montages and all of that, it just feels like, and I don't mean this in a negative way. I want everyone on that show to do well and like my friends to do well, but it feels like I don't know where this is going to go. Like it feels very like broken record-y. I don't know. Maybe you guys, the listeners, maybe the fans are going to be like, bitch, that's what all the seasons of Vanderpump Rules felt like to us. So maybe this is just a me thing, but I'm a very obviously super biased opinion, which is why I have Luke on here. And I'm curious to know what you guys all think, because I'm so emotionally invested in how my friends feel and the opposite of how I feel so kind of, I don't give a shit about the people that I'm not friends with. And so it is a little tough for me to recap these without emotion. So I'm just curious what everyone thinks. I don't know. I don't know what is to come on this, the rest of this fucking season. I have no clue. Because at this point, we started filming not long after this episode.
So what I'll say is I think, one, it's still a very well-made show.
Absolutely.
They do what they can with the content that they have. It's a very, very well-made show, and it's still entertaining. They have the comic relief to go with the heaviness, and you're just still rooting for, I don't know if you're rooting for Tom or not, but I think it's the shift of direction here is going to be like, at least they're going to paint Ariana like she's on this high horse once people gradually start forgiving Tom or trying to forgive Tom. But I don't know, kind of got to anticipate that he's going to put his foot in his mouth or do the I'm sorry but the whole time, and people are gonna be like, well, we all gave you a chance, you know. Yeah. I don't know which way it's gonna go.
I think what's frustrating for tough for me, and I know tough for people that are like long lifers of Vanderpump Rules that follow like all the news and everything, is the fact that even if this season ends with Tom being in good graces with some people, which it may very well end that way, we all know what he's doing now. So it's like that shit's right out the window. You know what I mean? Like none of his words had any weight because he's still mouthing off, deflecting, saying everyone else was wrong, poor him, poor Raquel, all of that, even to this day. And Raquel's fucking suing his ass. So like, you know, I'm curious though. Well, like, I mean, I want to keep watching because I'm so fucking curious about what the rest of their summer looked like on Vanderpump Rules, because like I said, very shortly after they filmed this episode, we started filming The Valley, and we definitely had some crossovers, but otherwise we were in full-on Valley world and they were in Vanderpump Rules world. And I still spoke with my friends, but I didn't ask them what they were doing on the show at all. So we'll get to watch it with the rest of y'all. This is like one of the first seasons that I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going to happen. But okay, guys, well, until next week. And I'm so sorry again that we did not do a episode of Sex Love last week. Mama had the air sculpt. I was in bed. Luke's out of town. It's all a bunch of fucking excuses, even though they're true. And I apologize, but we are going to be back in action ASAP. So thanks for sticking with us. We love you guys so much.
Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for listening.
You're so dumb. I love you. All right. Bye, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye. Make sure to follow us on social media. You can follow me on all platforms at Kristen Doty and follow Luke on Instagram at Luke_Broderick. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date with new episodes every single Wednesday. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.